We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wake that ass up early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ NV, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
We say special a lot, but this is one of those special guests.
Icon, a legend.
Absolutely.
Means a lot to me. Ladies and gentlemen, DMC.
Yo, what's up, yo? It's good to be
How
in
you
a
doing,
place
my brother?
To be. I'm doing good. Doing
he,
good.
He came
bro.
In here with a lot of product, too. He got children's
he got
books,
children books,
comic books,
and
he got his memoir, and he got
cookies.
DMC, Daryl Makes Cookies.
Yes,
that's
sir,
right.
Yes, sir.
Was that inspired by Dame Dash when he was on Breakfast Club? And he said, my
no,
son
no,
makes
no.
cookies.
I've always was thinking about doing cookies.
Okay.
And about 5 years ago, I was at the event, and this lady from Harlem had her cupcakes and cookies mm-hmm. and stuff like that, and they were really good.
Right.
And I was like, I love cookies, isn't it? And I've just blurted out loud, you know what? I'm going to start a cookie company. I'm going to call it Daryl Makes Cookies. And everybody in the room was like, yo, we'll buy that. Because they thought it was so cool to play on the letters, mm-hmm. Daryl Makes DMC, Daryl Makes right. Cookies. And also, I'm always doing stuff at schools. I'm always around families. I'm always around foster kids. Mm-hmm. And I like to do stuff to make people smile.
Absolutely.
So for all of you out there, we will have the vegan. We will have the gluten-free. We will have a protein cookie for people in the gyms.
And,
we started with chocolate chip, but we're going to have chocolate chip, mm-hmm. double chocolate, sugar cookie, oatmeal raisin, and a whole nine.
Do you remember your first cookie in life?
My first cookie was a butter cookie. There was this place in Queens in Long Island called Gals, mm-hmm. where everybody used to get their milk from. Remember Gals? And they used to have the cows there mm-hmm. and the cow. They used to milk the cows.
Real cows?
Real cows. The cows was in there, and they used to bring the milk bottles by, and you would buy the milk. So it was this place called Gals. And they sold cookies and candies and stuff like that. But I've always loved cookies.
I want to start from the beginning.
Uh-huh.
Of course, I'm from Queens. And what Run DMC meant to me was everything, right?
Wow.
I went to school on Hollis, St. Francis, St. Joe Comin, right on Hollis, across the street from PS 34.
Right on.
And to see brothers from my neighborhood make it out and become international stars was everything.
Wow.
But not only that, this was the day before social media, so running into your favorite celebrity was everything, right? I remember running into to Run and yourself at TSS. And
oh, Times Square Stories.
That's right. Yes. And you giving me an autograph on the back of an envelope, you know what I mean? Because autographs meant the most. I still have it now.
Wow.
So let's talk how you got into music and what made DMC start rapping, and how did you hook up with Run?
Right.
Being from Hollis,
all
Queens.
Right. So for me, I first started as a DJ because there was this thing going around called flash tapes. Did you hear the flash tapes with Flash doing a quick mix? So when I got to Queens, I heard a tape of Flash doing a Good Time.
You wasn't originally from Queens. You were originally from where?
I lived in Brooklyn for 1 year.
Okay.
But I didn't find out I was from somewhere else till I was 35. That's a whole nother
story.
I know,
yeah, all right.
But, right, exactly.
Right.
But flash tapes came into Queens, and it was the block parties and stuff like that. So me and my brother, we got DJ equipment, wanted to be DJs.
Right.
In my basement, I was Grandmaster Get High.
Grandmaster Get High?
Yeah, that was my name, Grandmaster Get High, because you didn't need Old English or weed, because my music would intoxicate you.
Oh,
okay,
that's
all right.
What was in my brain.
All right.
Prior to that, I was just a kid that read comic books. Now, I'm like you, I went to Catholic school.
Mm-hmm.
But the first thing for hip-hop was the DJ thing. So I wanted to be like Grandmaster Flash. And then all of a sudden, you started hearing the tapes of Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, Treacherous Three, Theodore Tapes, you know, the whole thing just came in. So first it was a DJ. So my brother, he was the only one that was allowed to go to Jamaica Avenue to the record store.
Right.
I was still a young kid. So he brought home Rapper's Delight, you know, that was hip hop first on the record. And, I, you know, everybody went crazy. Oh, wow. Hip, you know, it wasn't even hip hop. The MCs are now making records or whatever, whatever. But I didn't like Rapper's Delight still. The only thing that I liked about Rapper's Delight was the Big Bang Hank rhyme, because he talked about Superman. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I didn't know what the hell he was talking about. I know superheroes. But this is a game changer. A couple of weeks later, my brother comes home. Because if you remember, Rapper's Delight was a very elaborate, very attractive cover.
Mm-hmm.
It was light blue.
Very colorful.
Rainbow.
Yeah, rainbow. Yep.
So, boom. It was very colorful. Next week, it was just a white plain cover. Red Label record, it said Enjoy Records on it. And it said Grandmaster Flash. And I'm like, oh, that's the DJ guy and the Furious Five. Oh, yo, that's the MC thing. So I put the needle on this. Now, when you put the needle on Rapper's Delight, it comes a hip hop, the hip. It was a little different from me because at that time, there was two types, and Mo D talks about this. There was two type of MCs and rappers. It was the disco DJ rapping man. I'm the man. And put your hand up. And we're going to party. It was different. It was Hollywood nose cats. And then you had to yes, y'alls to the beat, the street. You know what I'm saying? MC thing. So Rapper's Delight didn't attract me, except for the Big Bank Hank rhyme, which I found out was dope because it was written by one of the dopest MCs from the street, Grandmaster Cass. But I didn't know that yet until Gold Crush Tapes came out. But this is the life-changing thing that made me start writing. I'm Grandmaster Get High in my basement. I'm the DJ playing the music. Then I put two and two together. I'm a kid trying to piece all of this together. So Grandmaster Flash has five MCs that he plays the music for.
Mm.
So I put the needle on this record. It didn't open up hip hop, and it wasn't no R&B. This thing said, it was a party night. Everybody was breaking. The house was screaming, and the bass was shaking, and it won't be long till everybody's knowing that Flash is on the B-box going. And I'm going, oh, my God, what the hell is this? And sha-na-na. Then it goes, Italian, Caucasian, Japanese, Spanish, Indian, Negro, Vietnamese, MC, dish jockeys, y'all, fly kid. I went running, give me a pen. Alfred, give me a pen. So I just started writing rhymes for myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I was Grandmaster Get High, and I was MC Easy D. Because my name starts with a D, and it's easy for me to write my rhymes. So that's all I'm doing in my basement, writing rhymes. Joseph Simmons, we went to the same Catholic high school, St. Pascal Baylon. He was always in the other class. Mm-hmm. We didn't know. We only knew each other. Hey, Daryl. Hey, Joe. Because the only reason we knew each other, it was two classes each. It was kindergarten, you together. But then when you go to first grade, it's 1-1 and 1-2. So I was always in the two classes. He was always in the one. So in eighth grade, what had happened, this is destiny.
Mm-hmm.
We went to Catholic school, so you know this. After school, you had to go home and put on your play clothes.
That's right, because your Catholic school pants
you,
on.
Yeah, you had to, your, first of all, your mother didn't want you to mess right. up. And you know you can't go to the park with your thing on because you're going to get your money taken, you're going to get teased, picked up.
You're going to get bullied.
You're going to get bullied, exactly. So you would have to go home. So St. Pascal Bayland had one basketball rim in the schoolyard in eighth grade. In eighth grade, a new student comes in, and thank you, David McEachin, because you helped us change the world. David McEachin comes to the school. You know, it's a big thing when a new student comes to school out of nowhere. Everybody's talking about it. Class, we like to introduce the new student, that whole thing. David McEachin, I'm like 6'1 now. So in eighth grade, David McEachin was about 6'1. He comes into school. He's tall like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He dunks on the one rim that the Catholic school kids have in the schoolyard, and he breaks it.
Mm. Damn.
So I'm because now we can't go, hold up, everybody, stop, wait a minute. Pfeiffer and Banner McDaniels, my parents are the best parents in the world. My father put a rim in my backyard. Yes, Daryl saves the day. So after school, I'm a five-minute walk from Pascal. So all the kids would come to my backyard and play basketball after school mm-hmm. to be safe and don't have to go to 192 or Jamaica Park to get correct. Their money and get bullied and teased on. So one day, Joey shows up alone with his basketball. And I'm like, yo, where Doug? Where's Craig? Oh, he had to go to the dentist. What's his name's on punishment? So it's just me and you. Let's play ball. So we play ball. You know what I'm saying? Joe is good. Joe and Jay, I wasn't a baller. I just had to remember. So we play ball. After we play
ball. So Ron was good in ball?
Very good. He was left-handed, very good. His favorite, you could speak to him. He loved Dr. J. Mm-hmm. Ron was nice. Jay was nice. Mm-hmm. I'm comic book kid. I'm awkward, but I'm just trying to fit in and impress the guys. And come on, I need a friend, so Dad put a rim in. I'm that kid, you know what I'm saying? So after we play ball, I usually go, and you're going to love this too. You go in the house, you get the jug of faucet water that you put in the refrigerator to get it cold, and you get Dixie cups.
Mm-hmm.
And I come in the back door, and I give all 12 kids a Dixie cup and water. This particular day is run. Now, what's the rule when no parents is home? Can't have company.
Nobody allowed
but
in the house.
Since it's only run, you know what? Come on in and get the water. He comes in, change purpose and destiny. He comes in, he sees me and my brother's turntables, and he goes, yo, you do that? And I go, no. Because that was my thing. Mm-hmm. I didn't want nobody. And he goes, yo, my brother's Russell Simmons. You ever see the flyers that's up on the telephone poles in the tree? My brother's Russell Russ, and he manages Curtis Blow and Jimmy Spice, and he goes on and on. So now I'm a little open. I'm mm-hmm. like, what did you do? And he goes, yeah, I'm DJ Run. And in the summertime when there's no school, I go all around New York City in the tri-state area. They call me the son of Curtis Blow, and I rap. And I say, and I go, whoa. So I'm over. I say, I can do it a little bit. And he goes, show me something. So I go over to the turntables, and I do the Super Sperm Quick Mix. Soup, poop, soup. So I'm just like, yo, D, it's good in this. So now the plan was this. Now we got something else in common besides ball. After school, my parents would get home at 4 o'clock. We get out of school 2:10. So we go play ball for half an hour, and then we go in the basement and DJ for 45 minutes. So that became the routine. One particular day, when he would come over, I would hide my rhyme book. So he couldn't see that. We could just DJ. And he'll tell you. He knew how to DJ, but he didn't know how to do Theodore and what Flash was doing. And I knew all that. So I taught him all of that. So one particular day, we down there. I remember we had peanut butter and jelly and potato chips. And it was my turn to DJ.
Mm-hmm.
And I look over at Joe, and he's sitting on the couch in the basement, and he got my rhyme book. That was like having my diary.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I left it on the coffee table. Okay. Usually I would put it under the couch when I knew Joe was coming. Because the rhyme book was my thing talking about me being MC EZD. So he finds it, and I'm running over there trying to get it from him. And he's like, no, hold on, wait, D. And he was like, yo, you wrote all of this? And I was like, yeah, you know, it's like a hobby. And he just looks at me, and I'll never forget the day. Slow motion. When my brother Russell lets me make a record, I'm putting you in my group. And I looked at it, and it went in one ear and out the other, because I'm like, yo, in my effort, yo, I don't do this for real. You do that. The Flash is in there. He said, no, D, don't worry about it. So that was in eighth grade. We graduated. Run and Jay went to Andrew Jackson High School.
Andrew Jackson, the first school of metal detectors
in
the
world. I took three trains and two buses all the way to Rice High School, 124th Street in Lenox. Now, later on, I found out it wasn't just to go to school. I thought it was a good, it was an all-boys Catholic high school. But when I got there, something great happened. I got to Rice High School in ninth grade, right? The kids that were in Rice High School, and this is all my purpose and destiny, the kids in Rice High School, they live in the Bronx, Harlem, and Manhattan. Mm-hmm. So when I got to Rice High School, this blew my mind. All the kids there, they have the rap DJ MC thing before 79 Rappers Delight. Mm-hmm. They got the T-Connection. They got the Autobahn Ballroom. They got the Black. They got Hard. And I'm like, the Autobahn, that's when Malcolm X got killed. What do you mean you're doing hip-hop? But the beautiful thing was, it wasn't the Rappers Delight records and the Heartbeat record. It wasn't the records. It was a treacherous street over beach rhyming, not about disco stuff. Yes, yeah, can you find an MC better than me? Mo D, can you find an MC better than me? No, can you find an MC who can say he's better than Special K? No, can you find an MC who can rhyme up against L.A. Sunshine? No, you can't, you can't. The D's your son. I'm like, what the hell? So I'm changing my pen game. So ninth grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade, I'm getting a crash course in beach rhymes, echo chain. I heard this girl going to all of you. My name is Sha Sha. I'm like, what the hell? This is nothing like them super rapping. You know what I'm saying? So my pen game changed. Here's the beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. Remember, eighth grade, Run says, when Russell lets me make a record, we went to different school. Mm-hmm. Ninth grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade. I graduate from Rice High School, mm-hmm. send my resume out to St. John's University and a couple other colleges, come home in the mail, there's a letter to me, Mr. Darryl McDaniels. I open it up before my mother. Mr. Darryl McDaniels, we are proud to inform you, you're going to St. John's University. What? Oh, this is crazy. It's funny. My mother and father come home. I run past them down to the basement to write a rhyme. I didn't say, Ma, I ran to the basement to check this out. I write this rhyme. I'm DMC in the place to be. I went to St. John's University. So I write the rhyme. Right? That was, I was a class of 82. Mm-hmm. In June of 82, the phone rings. It's Joe. Yo, D, what's up, man? Now, you know, we've seen each other, but mm-hmm. he calls this particular. Remember 4 years ago? Yeah, when I said if I make a grab your rhyme book. We're going to the studio to make a record. We go to Green Street Recording Studio. Mm-hmm. Right here. We go down there, we make it like that, and that's the way it is. And then the B-side Sucker MCs.
Wow.
Here I am today.
Wow.
That's how
wow.
I got here.
That's
exactly.
I love superhero origin stories. You know what I mean?
That is crazy.
And I'm thinking that's about when you down. First heard the rap and you decided that you wanted to pick up your pen. Did you already experiment with rapping before that?
None. Wow. But see, I was a good student. It was like, I listened to it, okay, I listened to it. It was bugging me out because, and the switch-off thing that Run DMC is famous for, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? People think we invented it. No, flashing them, because after he said Italian, Caucasian, Japanese, Spanish, Indian, Negro, MC, disc jockeys, yo, fly kids for the young ladies. Now, if you remember Rappers Delight, Rappers Delight was a long-ass record.
Yes.
The MC, three MCs with long-ass rhymes, stop, long-ass rhyme. These dudes said, introducing the crew, you got to see to believe. Five different voices. Imagine me as a kid, 15 years old. Where one, two, three, four, five MCs. One dude says, I'm Melly Mel and I rock it so well. And then the other dude said, and I'm Mr. Ness because I rock the best. This dude said, Raheem and all the ladies dreaming. And then the other dude's with the crazy voice, cowboy, and I make it jump for joy. This blew my mind. The fifth dude goes Creole. The other four goes Solid Go, Kid Creole. With a Furious Five plus Grandmaster Flash, giving you a blast of show enough class. So to prove to you all that we're second to none, we're going to make five MC. You can do that? Like, because wow. I was, in the beginning, most of us thought you had to go hip, hop, the hip, I'm the disco man and I play my rap. These dudes was talking about how incredible they were. So my pen game was like this. And when Joe took me in the studio, when we went to write us like that, you've got to remember, people don't understand. Hip hop does the same thing over and over. Some kid asked me, I was speaking at a high school in the Bronx, Mr. DMC, because I'm 59 years old now. Now, if wow. I was 20, it'd been, yo, DMC.
DMC,
he asked me, what do you think about mumble rap? So I'm old. I'm a man now. They want to see me, you young whippersnappers, this and that. Boom. They wanted to see me hate. And I go, I can relate to that. You should have seen the class, huh? the old man, my parent did. I said, yo, you know why I could relate to it? Because they said the same thing about me. Hip, hop, the hibbit. The difference between my generation and your generation is when we got criticized about something, we stopped the music, said, oh, you don't think we can deliver content? We wrote it's like that. We wrote the message. We wrote Planet Rock, and the list goes on and on. So when we went in to do the studio to do It's Like That, originally It's Like That was kind of like a Curtis Blow record. Because Rem was the son of Curtis mm-hmm. Blow and mm-hmm. Russell and Jimmy Spicer. When you listen to the early hip-hop that Russ and them was doing, they was doing, let's do this style, use R&B to get accepted.
Right.
I'm sitting in Rice. I'm like, there's no acceptance to this. I can talk about going to McDonald's like Busy B. Y'all be rapping. I'm the disco man. I'm going to talk about C to the apple, apple to the core. I am the man with the rhymes galore. Rock a rhyme for me and then a rhyme for you. I wanted to do that. So originally It's Like That was unemployment at a record high. People coming, people going, people born to die. Don't ask me because I don't know why. It's like that. That. If we would have made that, I wouldn't be sitting here right now.
That was like the message a little bit.
Yeah, it was, you know, the rappy rap thing.
Right.
You know, super, that thing. You know, I said, no. Do you know what they was doing before Rappers Delight and Larry Smith? Let me just say, the greatest hip-hop producer ever that nobody knows about. Mm-hmm. He produced all of Run DMC's first album, all of Run DMC's second album, before Rick Rubin came in. He's the guy that started Rockbox. No Walk This Way, No Rock. But long story short, so the message came out. If you remember in the beginning, hip-hop was all message records. Mm-hmm. So yesterday I was doing an interview, and I brought up that hip-hop always does it. The one hit record that is the top, it's crazy. In this era, the hit person at the top, everybody under them sounds alike. Mm-hmm. And that's just a normal thing, right? And when I'm hearing the Cold Crush, they all rapping, but they got different rhyme routines. Mm-hmm. They're talking about different things. So a message came out, Planet Rock came out. So we're going in and making this like that record about the world. I'm studying this like Tony Starks. Mm-hmm. I'm saying, Joe, you know what we got to do with this? It's like that record. We got to put the negative and the positive together. It's like that, and that's the way. That's why if you listen to It's Like That, it's a message record. We talk about unemployment, but we also talk about go to school, this and that. Doing
right.
So we combine that. So since I was a very smart kid to Joe, D, just go home and write a bunch of rhymes how the world is. So when you listen to It's Like That, it's me and Joe together. So Russell's plan, and it's, see, the world is crazy. Russell's plan for Run was to be Run the MC. So me coming in with the DMC worked for Russell because if I sucked, he was going to kick me out the group. Run was going to tour and do It's Like That by himself. Remember Martha Wash, the fat lady that sung all the club records mm-hmm. in the 80s and mm-hmm. 90s, but they put the pretty girl
in front of
it.
Yeah.
About
it was a
Martha.
Big story, yeah.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Huh. The Russell wanted to do that to me. Right?
What?
Yeah.
Who was the person that he was going to use for you?
Oh, you want to know? So over in London at this time, hip-hop was big. Mm-hmm. They knew about Curtis Blow. They knew about Bam. Mm-hmm. They knew about Flash. There was and you can look this up. There was a pioneering DJ over in England called Lady Blue who was doing hip-hop, everything Bam was doing, and she would come over and learn. She was taking it back then. This is like 81, 80, early 80. So Lady Blue, this is funny for Joe. Lady Blue was going to be Run's DJ. Run the MC with DJ Lady Blue. She had a pantomime pop locker. Crazy shit.
What?
If you think you're into this entertainment, I mean, is it progressive thinking? Yes,
right.
Yes. So Run is coming to me. We do It's Like That. And Russell's like, D, get out the way. Go sit down.
Damn.
Now, we got to do the beat. We got to do the beat jam, which was Suck MCs. Just put a beat on a rhyme. If you listen to Suck MCs, it's three rhymes from Run because that was his solo record. Mm-hmm. So he goes in and he lays the record. Run comes to me, D, you got to go in there and show Russell that you can rap and that you're incredible, that you're the best. And it's just Run telling me that you're the best out there. And he's telling me because I don't want to be with Lady Blue and the pet. And he's crying. You understand? I don't want
to pop a lot.
Please do it. And I'm telling Run, nah, man, I'm good. I'm on It's Like That, this and that. Russ, he said, and you know, Run is the Crush Groove Run in the movie. That's what Run would do to Russell. And he's like, F Russell, this and that. Just go in there. So I go in the booth, and Run says, D, say a rhyme. And I'm like, yo, Run, you trying to get me trouble, whatever. And he just says, motherfucker, just say your newest rhyme. Mm-hmm. What was my newest rhyme? I'm DMC.
I'm the place to be.
So he said, I'm going to pass you the mic, just say your newest rhyme. I hit that verse. Russell walks in the studio. Oh, my God. That's it. The name of the group is going to be called Run DMC. Your initials are perfect. This and that. Boom, 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 boom.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often those of us who don't fit into this dumb stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s.
She looked like a million bucks.
With zero qualifications.
She had a Harvard plaque.
Tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. That this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from The Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So when we went into the studio, my thing was this. Let's do what was being done in the parks and the block parties and the dark basements in New York City and not change our presentation of who we are just to get radio play or just to get accepted. So we did a Slight That Message record with some positivity in there. And then we did Suck MCs. If you understand, everybody was musical at the time. Good time. Everybody is sampling R&B and who's the hot jam? Love at the Encore. Well, let's make a beat about that. By me going to Rice and say, these motherfuckers is using James Brown and jazz and this and that. So Suck MCs, boom, tat, tat, just a beat. People don't realize Suck MCs was the first game-changing element. Not Walk This Way and all of that. Not Rock Him. That came later. Mm-hmm. The first thing that happened to put hip-hop on that, yo,
that's a fact.
Suck MCs.
Yeah, Suck MCs.
That's a fact.
I'm light skinned. I live in Queens.
And I love eating chicken and collard greens. Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, when it comes to MCing, how do you properly rank hip-hop MCs? Because just like in basketball, skills have changed throughout the years.
Right.
You know, so how do you rank a rapper from the 80s with somebody from the 90s or the 2000s?
Like,
how do you do that? How do you do that?
There's no GOAT. You can't say that there's a GOAT. Because everybody's so good. People always, it's funny, throughout the years, people would ask me, who's better, Eminem or Jay-Z? Chuck D. Okay, that ends that. So, if you thought that, you know what I'm saying? This dude, Chuck, said, I'm so versatile, say it without rhyme, which is, without rhyme, this me and Rick Rubin, shout out to Rick Rubin, we tried to do this. Nobody ever did this. And now, let's talk about skills. I'm so versatile, say it over a beat. Boosh, boosh, gash, kaboosh, kaboosh, gash, boosh, 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 gash, jaboosh. I'm so versatile, say it without rhyme, which is why they're after me and they're on my back, looking over my shoulder to see what I write. They hear what I say and they want to know why. Why they could never compete on this level. Superstar status is my domain. Understand my rhythm, my patterns of lectures, and then you'll know why I'm on the run.
Mm.
That one verse trumps every generation. So how do you rate MCs in a rhyme for the effect that they have when they're on the stage and when they're in that crowd? That's how you do it. See, when Melly Mel battled Eminem, you know what I'm saying? And Mel came out with that thing. Somebody said, it sounds like somebody AI'd Mel's response to that. All Mel had to do was do you. When Pete Rock produced us, Pete Rock produced Down With The Kings.
With The Kings, yeah.
The 80s changed. The 90s changed hip-hop. We was loved and pioneers, but we wasn't.
Man.
I thought it was going to slide nice.
Respect the DMC.
I thought it was going to slide. Yeah, I don't want to be jumping the camera while he's talking.
What I'm trying to say is when Pete Rock, what Run DMC did for Aerosmith, y'all brought Aerosmith back, Steven Tyler and Joe Perry, yes, they did. The same thing that we did for Aerosmith, Pete Rock did for us when Down With The King. We wasn't participating. We wasn't on the chart. We wasn't on MTV no more. So Pete Rock brings us back. I remember going in that session with Pete Rock, and he said, D, you ain't got to be Eminem. You ain't got to be Jay-Z. You ain't got to be Cool Rock. Give me that DMC shit. So I was like, okay. He asked me, what are you doing right now? I'm taking the tours. I'm wrecking the land. I keep it hardcore because it's dope, man. These are the roughest, toughest words that I wrote. Damn, not meant for a hole like a soldier in a second. Suck MC's air. So all Mel had to do, when you talk about rating, all Mel had to do is what he did on Pump Me Up to battle that. Don't try to flip it up. I can't even move. Like, don't try to beat. What? See, when I went to Rice, I realized what these kids, the celebration of hip hop wasn't a 50-year celebration. It was a goddamn lie. The celebration that we just had was the 44-year celebration of recorded rap, because they set, here's Kool Herc, 73, and they jumped to 79, all the record making motherfuckers. They didn't talk about what I came in at, all the line, this and that, and this and that. You didn't hear, you only know Mo D from Battling LL. Right. You didn't hear Mo with the Treacherous Three. who is just as dope as Scarface mm-hmm. and just as dope as a Drake. So how do you rate them? You can't rate them. You got to go and see what they do and put these motherfuckers in a class by themselves. Mel had to do them Eminem. Rappers might be willing, but they ain't able, because I was Dick King straight from my cradle. Screamed and hollered, shook my rattle, dreamt I defeated them all in battle. There was no food in my silver spoon, but I grew up hard and I grew up soon. I'm a righteous king and I'm hungry too, and I eat up punks that rap like you. I met you. That's all Mel had to do.
He tried to play M's game.
Yeah, he tried.
Yeah. He's playing his own game.
The 50 Ja Rule.
Mel,
go in there and do what you. I was sitting on a corner just a waste of my time when I realized it was the king of the rhyme. I got on the microphone, and what do you see? The rest was my legacy. I was born to be the king of this hip hop thing. With stallions and medallions and diamond rings, own a mansion and a yacht, cool million in gold, cause rap is the game that I control. I'm like Shakespeare, I'm a pioneer, and I made rap something people wanted to hear. See, before I came, it was the same old thing with the ball they did draw that street called game. So if you ever, let me make this clear, if you ever think that I'm going out of here, if you...
Ooh, wow.
So people only know Mel from the record. Go to her, see, I'm such a fan. I don't care about you and your records.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not in hip hop as look, I'm not Scarface, I'm not Nas, but for Scarface, Bumpy Knuckle, and Coogee Rap to tell me, yo D, you're the best. You cut the head off the devil and see, you can't rate it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. For them to tell me that. So you can't rate it. So what Run DMC did is this. Let me calm down. Mm-hmm. When you see this documentary.
Hulk got to turn back to Bruce Banner.
Yes, I get excited about this hip hop stuff. I gave you what Run DMC, we didn't create it. People go, we know hip hop was before you, but y'all created it. No, Run DMC is the pioneers of recorded rap. We took, if you listen to Adidas, we took the beat from the street as it was. Everybody else was wearing track suits. Everybody else was wearing Adidas. Everybody else was wearing Gazelles. Everybody else was Kangols, Gannacar, Sheepskins, and all. We took the beat from the street. We took the culture from the street. And because of MTV, we put it on TV for all to see. That was our pioneering role. That's what we did. But Mel is just as dope as Pun. Now, everybody would say Eminem, Andre 3000. What about Pun?
Yeah, absolutely.
What about Pun? Nobody never puts him in the top five. Hold up. This is going to blow your mind.
Mm-hmm.
In the top five from Andre 3000 and Lauryn Hill never had a rap verse. And what I mean by that is Eminem fans, Jay-Z fans, Run fans, everybody else can, oh, it's all right. Lauryn Hill and Andre 3000 never got it all right. Lauryn Hill is in the top five of MCs. And if you don't believe me, just go listen to what's out there available and tell me what dude is better than her now.
No, she's dope. I think the only thing they'll say about Andre and Lauren is they didn't. I don't agree with that with Andre because he had the whole Outkast catalog. But with Lauren, they'll say she didn't give us enough music.
Right. But no, but all I'm saying is just listen to what she did. I'm just saying that you got tapes from Harlem World.
I agree.
You got tapes from Harlem World with Spoonie G. Coming into the Christmas rap convention with every MC in New York. And he didn't come spit no love rap stuff. He said, tis, tis, I appreciate this. But some of you MCs are taking a risk, trying to take him a chair. But these guys had that thing. So for me, when I came in, I knew I wasn't the best. I knew I wasn't Mel. I knew I wasn't even Run. But my thing was, what would Spider-Man do? What would the Hulk do? What would the Thor? So my whole presence in hip-hop was, now that I'm doing comic books, people said, I know why I like you now. Thor is the son of Odin from Asgard, has a brother named Loki, and he has a hammer. Mm-hmm. I saw that, and I saw what hip-hop do. My old man at DMC can transform into the devastating mic controller. Mm. My name is Daryl. I'm from Hollis. My father's name is, Byford, and I got a brother named Alfred. So I became son of Byford, brother of Al. Banner's my mother and Run's my pal. Ooh. It's McDaniels, not McDonald's. These rhymes are Daryl's, those burgers are Ronald's. I ran down my family tree. So hip hop gave me a way to be enthusiastic about who I am at whatever points in my life.
I gotta ask, so when Run DMC takes off, right? And the world is looking at Run DMC. They're looking at these two black brothers on every TV screen.
Three black brothers.
Three black brothers. Three black brothers. Did y'all understand the impact and how was y'all mental during that time? Because y'all were kids from Queens, from Hollis, then now all of a sudden, yo, we're in every household, selling out shows and concerts. And
it was the scariest thing ever. It was the scariest thing ever. But we knew Jay was funny. Jay's thing was, yo, we got to watch our day. We got to watch what we say. We got to watch what we do. Listen, I sniffed more coke than the earth could put on the earth. Running Jay smoked more weed. I drank a case of Old English a day.
Jesus.
But we know, yo, if they wearing glasses like D and wearing hats and tracksuits like us and Adidas like us, we can't be talking about, you know what I'm saying? We knew we had a big influence. So that's why we was careful. So we had to figure out how could we be the hardest thing ever without being disrespectful, profane, and still relate to these brothers and sisters in the streets. That's why I came up. Most of our records were rhyme routines. You know, Cold Crush had It's Us. You know, It's Us, the Cold Crush. Mm-hmm. You know, the Force MCs before they were the Force MDs. Mm-hmm. We are called to, for you put the beat, steal a melody. Let's steal, Old Anxine from the New Year's thing. Oh, let's steal Bob Dylan melody. We would steal melodies and you would make it over the hip hop beats. So when we got to that point and everybody was saying rap's a fad, it's going to be a commercial. And you know, all the singers that hated us, not like the Ramones, not like Lou Reed, not like Cher, they loved us. I mean, when we met Bon Jovi, you guys are incredible. But the critics and the journalists and a lot of so-called real magicians hate us. So when I wrote It's Tricky to Rock a Rhyme, I'm trying to tell you, yo, it's tricky to do, yo, this ain't easy. But to do that and maintain that level in this business that you're not accepting in. So for us, it was always a thing where, okay, let's sit down. The first thing we have to do is, what everybody's doing, we're going to do something different. So when everybody was doing music, we broke it down to Circumcise, just beat. Everybody jumped to the beats. When everybody jumped to the beats, this is 84. When we put out the Run DMC album, let's put out Rock Box. Let's put some guitars on it. It wasn't nothing new. Why? We didn't create rock rap. You know who created rap? Rock rap? Kool Herc, Grandmaster Flash, Afrika Bambaataa, Grand Wizard Theodore, and Charlie Chase. Because in the crates of every DJ from 73 to 79 was break jazz, R&B, funk, disco. When disco got thrown away, I remember when I was a kid, I woke up one day, and the whole world was going, disco sucks. And it was an overnight thing. But hip hop said, that shit ain't God of us. Give it to us. But I realized in the crates, Rush, Tom Sawyer was always in there. Walk This Way was in there. Me and Run just didn't know it was called Walk This Way, Aerosmith. We just knew, get the album out with the toys and play number four. So we knew that this is what made Run DMC so unique. We did what we was doing at 12, 13, 14, and 15 on record. Now, let me say this. That's because that's what Mel and everybody else was doing before us. When they got into showbiz, the greatest hip-hoppers or so-called rappers in the history of rapping is everybody before recorded rap. But for them, when they started making their records, the first rappers didn't have rappers to look up to. Now, there's flyers with Mel in them with sheepskins and mock necks and Godfather hats and Madame, you know what I'm saying? The only one out of Melly Mel that stayed that Mel, the only one out of Furious Five that was like me running Jay was Cowboy. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of times Cowboy put on some little tassels, but he didn't put on that other stuff. When they got into showbiz, when this hip hop thing that nobody believed in gets to showbiz now, number one, they're changing their delivery. They're changing their presentation. They change who they really are to fit in. So when they get into showbiz, they don't have no rappers to look up to because they're the first ones. So if you look at Mel, Afrika Bambaataa, if you look at Afrika Bambaataa and the Zulu Nation, Soul Sonic Force, they look like Parliament Funkadelic. If you look at Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, Moe Dee and all of them, they look like the Sex Pistols, they look like the Rolling Stones, and they look like Rick James. Because they in show, I'm talking about in the showbiz arena. When me and Ron was coming in, we was like, the music business didn't let hip hop come in from me and Ron and Jay's perspective. We bringing this hip hop shit to the music business because nobody does it. So when Russell let me, Circumcise is good, it's like that. Russell's whole thing was, you'll need wardrobe, you'll need wardrobe. So me and Ron would say, yeah, cool, but we ain't wearing that shit.
So who y'all want to dress like, the drug dealers? Or
no, we want to dress like Jam Master Jay and DJ Hurricane.
Okay.
Let's talk about Andrew Jackson High School. 9th grade, 10th grade, and 11th grade. The way Run DMC looked, that's how Jam Master Jay and Hurricane was going to school.
The black
Godfather.
Okay.
Yes. Wow. So What had happened was there's a picture of me and Run After Fever. We all over the place. No coordination. Matter of fact, in my early first shows, I'm wearing Pumas. You're just going to see my feet. Run out on Adidas. I had on black, blue Pumas with the white stripe. But this is what happened. We get a gig at the Disco Fever. The first time that we were supposed to play the Fever, we pull up to Jay House. We didn't know about this thing called Soundcheck. So we had to be at the Fever 6:30 for Soundcheck. Mm-hmm. Jay went to Jamaica Avenue to get fly. So he missed the first show that Run DMC had of the Fever. DJ Starchild, legendary DJ Starchild. Yep. He DJed for us. He DJed It's Like That Circumcised. But the next time that we played the Fever, because after the Fever saw us, they knew who Run DMC was, but they didn't know, you know, yeah, I'm familiar with this DJ Run guy. So when we took the stage, the Fever did this. Imagine the Fever. It's this. Sal Albertello entered. Ladies and gentlemen, straight out of Queens, Run DMC. And it's the Fever. Music is playing and stuff. DJ Junebug had the beat on. When we took the stage, you could hear the turntable. And then you heard this. But then when that shit said, boom, tat, 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 tat. Oh, that's who they are. So the Fever's brought us back. This is how we found our look, our style, and our sound. Because if you listen to Suck MCs, Run doesn't say Jay cut the record down to the bone. He says Dave cut. Legendary Dave DJ Davey D. Mm-hmm. Curtis Blow's DJ, who had more records than Afrika Bambaataa. It's debatable. So we pull up to Jay's house for soundcheck at the Fever. Jay said, I ain't missing this one. We beep the horn. Jay comes out on his steps. He steps out the door. He got the black Adidas jacket with the white stripes on. Mm-hmm. He got black Lees. Remember the flavor? He had on black Lees. Mm-hmm. He had on brand new white Adidas with the blue stripe. No laces, and laces was around his neck. So his tongues were sticking up like tombstones. Mm-hmm. And he got the JVC four-speaker box on. He got a little gold chain on, and he got the Godfather hat. He steps out onto his step. Larry Smith, our producer, goes to utter, yo, that's y'all. We finished it for him. That's our outfit. So when we put Jay in the group, it's me and Run made the record first. And when the record started getting hot, Russell goes, you got a DJ? And Run was like, oh, I didn't think about that part. Jay was the best DJ in Hollis. So Jay gave us our look. And what was good about putting Jay down, he's a member of the Hollis crew. Mm-hmm. So now we can go into all other boroughs. We can go into Connecticut and we could go into Jersey and the stick up kids can't mess safe with us.
That's right.
Because his Hollis crew is our backing.
Now listen, wow. DMC is here because there's a new 3-part docuseries on Peacock, Kings from Queens, the Run DMC story.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So even though we're getting all of this now, I still want y'all to go watch it on Peacock.
Absolutely.
But while we're here,
it's in depth on the Peacock.
Very in depth.
Yeah.
So for radio purposes, I want to ask you, has Run DMC felt like Run DMC since the passing of Jam Master Jay?
No, not at all. Mm-hmm. 100%. Not at all. People always say, oh, could it be an album and a tour? And my joke, but they get it. This is the only way you can shut people up. Run DMC will tour when the Beatles get back together.
Everybody knows that.
You know what I'm saying? It's Paul and Ringo. It can't happen. Now, when we do show up, it's not Run DMC. It's Reverend Run and King DMC, the two members who used to be in that band.
Wow.
Jay, it can't, Run DMC don't exist without Jay.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Dang.
If you want to know who Run DMC is, go back and look at all the videos, listen to the rest. That's Run DMC. Me and Run are the two surviving members of that band.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...with zero qualifications...
She had a Harvard plaque.
...tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. ...that this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6
million? Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout. And woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At one time, it's the same, you know, and it's the same in this generation with the Migos. God bless Takeoff. Like,
yeah, you can't.
You'll never be the Migos.
Never
be
yeah,
Migos,
even if no. You make the record, it's something weird. The only way that Run DMC could coexist as a group, here's a brilliant thing. And, you know, it's 50 years of hip hop. Where can we go now? So, for Run DMC to exist, or for me and Run to exist artistically and creatively, we would have to reform a new band. If you look at David Grohl, look what the rock dudes do. Mm. Paul McCartney left the Beatles. He didn't try to keep the Beatles' legacy is untouchable like Run DMC. But when Paul went solo, he started Paul McCartney and Ring. Like, I got a band now. I do all my catalog live drum and guitars. It's called DMC and the Hellraisers to give homage to Raising Hell. So if you look at Soundgarden, Audioslave, they all morph. You know what I'm saying? So hopefully hip-hop will get to that. Where can we go now? Now we have to figure out how... Once you get into the stadiums, you got to figure out how do you keep the legacy going if you're still a cohesive man, or how do you continue it on? When you look at people that used to play for Crosby, Stills, Young, and Nash, when you look at Pink Floyd, the two dudes from the band, they do their own things. Maybe once in a while they'll show up. So if you see me and run, you seeing, oh, shoot, Paul McCartney played with Ringo last night. So to answer your question, Charlamagne, no, it's no Run DMC without Jam Master Jay. Because every record was Run DMC and Jam Master Jay and. And the funny joke is, when we first started out, people thought we was an R&B group. And now check this out. When we first came out, we was playing the Fever, we was playing all the roller skating rinks, and we was playing all the clubs. But on a national scene, we was opening up for Lou Reed. Mm-hmm. We was opening up for ZZ Top. We was opening up for Marvin Gaye. We was opening up for Parliament Funkadelic. And y'all remember this era, we was opening up for the Gap Band, Confunction, and the Bar K's. Here's a funny story. I don't know if I told this in the doc, but the funny story was, we was opening act for the Gap Band. You know, Charlie and all of them, right? So we was opening act, we had 20 minutes. So we would go out there for 20 minutes and bust ass. Like crazy. And we would leave. They would pick, oh, don't leave, then come back for it. And the Gap Band would go out to play. So we on a tour. In the beginning of the tour, the whole Gap Band, the whole staff, the whole management, everybody that was part of the whole tour. Hey, we love you, rap guys. And it was kind of like this. Oh, we love you, Run D&J, because you're not going to be here in 2 years. This rap shit is going to die, whatever. So you have open access. Here's the hot food. You don't have to just eat the craft table. You can come in the green room, this and that. The bus is over here. Here's the real good showers and stuff like that. All of a sudden, halfway through the tour, we started, no, y'all can't go over there no more. This is true. No, y'all can't go over there. No, y'all over here. They put us in a broom closet. So one day, we're in the broom closet sitting there, me, running Jay. Say this is me, running Jay. The promoter and Charlie Wilson's manager, Charlie Wilson and the other guy from the Gap Band, they come in our dressing room. So your run, that's DMC, this is Jay. So it's the promoter, just knock on the broom closet door, boom, boom. Can we speak to your guys? Okay, cool. Promoter, manager, Charlie Wilson, the other guy from the Gap Band. We'd like to talk to you about something. Charlie Wilson, Run DMCJ, is standing like this to us.
Wow. Charlie?
It's a fly, though. We loving every minute of it. It's like, mad as a fuck. Excuse me, guys. For the rest of the tour, we would like y'all to close the show.
Wow.
Not paying you no headline money, but we would like y'all to close the show. Ain't that right, Charlie? It's the funniest shit ever. He's like, yeah, that's right. We was, because we ain't had no instruments. We ain't had a, but nobody could fuck with Jay. Come out by himself with some turntable. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Jam Master Jay. Right about now, boom, dad, throw your hand, call me. I'll come out, check the mics. No, they couldn't mess with us. So to ask me, did I see hip hop doing this? No. Why? Because I was doing it there. And now you got the rest.
Did capitalism hurt or help hip hop?
It helped it. Mm-hmm. It's people's attitudes, because what has happened with our hip-hop, Charlamagne? We have forsaken our responsibility. Mm. When you walk to that microphone, I was doing this all day yesterday. This documentary is going to let you know 99.9 of the people who say they hip-hop ain't hip-hop. Now, don't get me wrong. Capitalism did this. I never thought that my culture that we brought to the entertainment industry could get diluted, polluted, and destroyed. But now I realize from reading and studying how things go over the generations, and even from my own situation, anything that's sacred and holy to a culture or a group of people would get diluted, polluted, and destroyed once it's commercialized. Now, that's a good thing. But what has happened now is, I never thought, now, don't get me wrong, y'all understand what I'm saying here. When you look at music, let's say Sheryl Crow, for instance, who's huge, sells at stadiums, sells records and that. Or she don't even need electronics. All she needs is an acoustic guitar, and she could perform in front of 10 people or 10,000 people. Britney Spears, on the other hand, love her. Love great artists, but she needs a writer, she needs a choreographer, and this and that. I never thought hip-hop would have that. So what capitalism has done is the money has come in. And you can tell me, this is what's going on. There are artists who are in the recording business that hip-hop is now in recording raps over music for the purpose of success in the music industry. Mm-hmm. That's not hip hop. Ask Tretch and KG. Ask Pub. Hip hop is you gotta have a DJ, turntables, mixer. The DJ's part of the whole equation. MC's, you making that on records. So now you got people rapping over music, selling records. That's not hip hop. For whatever your opinion about it, I relate to mumble rap because they said I was mumbling, but I just showed them I don't mumble only. Mm-hmm. Nobody's doing that right now. But whatever your opinion of this is, people are doing what they're going to do to survive in the music business. That's cool. But Eric Sermon has been saying this for the last 20 years. No disrespect to all of these great artists, but don't call that shit hip hop. What the music business has done to sell ignorance, disrespect, degrading, low grading, asinine concepts, images, and content is they'll take a piece of shit, label it hip hop just to sell it. That's what's happening. Eric Sermon, he said this. They should have called it something else. Mm-hmm, it should have been a different name. Because these artists ain't doing what Mel or Rakim's doing. I'm taking me out the picture. I'm talking about people that I look that came after me that I look up to. So the capitalism didn't hurt anything. It's the attitude of the people because of the success. Now, don't get me wrong. The proof is in the pudding. You got artists that are in your faces. I don't do this for the culture. I do it for the money. That's cool. It's no different.
I'm not a rapper. I'm a hustler.
Yeah. And that's cool. That's cool. So my thing is this. 50 years of hip hop, what we have to do as a community of people globally is put shit in perspective and take back our hip hop and place it where it's supposed to go. Represent it as the way it's supposed to. There's nothing wrong with you talking about your gun. This has nothing to do with censorship and freedom of speech. You can talk about whatever you want. But for me, coming to see what was going on before me, seeing what Run DMC did, and seeing what we inspired after that, here's the mind-blowing thing. When you look at this documentary, everybody from Ice Cube to Chuck D, Public Enemy, and everybody in between was interviewed. I'm talking about Jermaine Dupri, Eminem, very diverse and stuff like that. Everybody who was interviewed for this documentary about Run DMC, who's talking about Run DMC, everybody sounds and looks different.
Mm, absolutely.
And all of them are top tier artists, but not one artist sounds the same, raps the same, or even uses the same music. So when I look at that, I'm like, wow. So people are saying, look at what your girl gave birth to. No. I'm over here with them. We're looking at what everybody before 1979, when rap started selling records, gave birth to. So when I'm looking at this documentary, I'm not looking at my accomplishments. I heard my accomplishments from day one. Yo, that Suck MC shit. Nobody talked to Nas about Suck MCs. Ask him what's the greatest thing that happened in the period. Oh, that thing. But when I'm looking at this, Run would always say this to me and Jay before Jay passed away. Yo, you know what's crazy, man? Everybody got to experience the Run DMC phenomenon except us because we the more than ones doing it. Wow. Now I can look and know that I'm not better than Ice Cube. I'm not better than Chuck and this and that. I am them. And what I mean by that, I was telling people that saw the doc already yesterday. I said, take Run DMC out the crazing of this documentary. Ice Cube, Eminem, and all of them, take our names and words out, our recognition out their mouths. Every artist sitting there was actually sitting there talking about themselves. Everything Run DMC did was never for Run DMC. It was for our culture.
Inspiring other people.
Yeah. DMC got to go. They got another interview, but you got to come back because we got to have a longer conversation. I know you have to go.
I'll come back with more cookies.
With more cookies. I just got to ask you one more question. I know you said it on Drink Champs.
Yes.
Was Run DMC supposed to be in the car with Tupac the night he was?
Yeah, well, yeah. So many people was like, yo, dude, here's what happened. We get a call from Suge Knight. They wanted us, Run DMC, to perform at the app. What was the name of the club in Vegas? The club that they owned, the Sugar Home, in Vegas. So we get a call. This is when the Lexa first opened, when it was fly. It was what Shook's putting out. So we come into Vegas, and Sugar Ray. So the day goes on. Sugar comes in with 100 people into the lobby of the Lexington to make sure that we are. So we get in our room and say, that evening, Sugar calls. Damn, Eric, he's been with me for the 30 years. Sugar says, yo, me and Pac are coming to get the guys. Pac wants y'all to ride with him to the show and to the after party. Now, cool. Now, I've seen a lot of comics on it. That's what somebody else said. Now, maybe we'd have got to the thing and we would have said, no, we'll meet y'all or whatever. But that was the order because they were treating us like so much more. When we got to L.A., Pac, Shug, and all of the Death Row, they were looking at us like we were fucking gods and they wanted to impress us.
Because y'all are.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. So what had happened was Eric calls, no, Shug calls to come pick us up. This is a true story, and this is a beautiful Jam Master J story. Mm-hmm. Shug goes, Eric, I'm coming to get the guys now. He called early and said, Pop, wants you to cool. So he calls and says, Eric, I'm coming to get the guys, right? Eric goes, nah, Shug, y'all go by yourselves. We'll meet y'all there later. We'll meet y'all at the after party later. And Shug goes, why? And the true story, this you're going to laugh. Eric goes, because Jam Master J is getting dressed. Now, people going to hear this, and everybody that was close to Jay is probably saying, yo, because Jay would do this. He would take all of the flyest clothes in the world, and Charlamagne, if it was you, this was your job for the next 3 hours. You know, how does this, what about this? That's what was going on. So that's why we didn't ride. At least we might have been in the car with the gunshots, because Pac, there was no way Jay and Pac ain't riding to the after, but Jay was that dude. So maybe not me and Run. We something else. But Jay might have been in the car. Let me rephrase that, what I said on Jay. Jay would have done. But the reason why, and you can talk to Kane. Ask him. He told me the stories that Kane will say, Jay will keep you there for. He will try on Gucci leather, this and that, sneakers, that's why we didn't get a car with.
Wow.
So I love you, Jay.
I know you got to go, but do you feel like, I feel like there's a whole era of hip hop, in particular the 80s era, that isn't getting this just due, but it's actually earlier than that. It feels like the origin story of hip-hop isn't being told.
It's never heard.
Don't sat with me yesterday. I said never heard. This is our problem right now. 50 years of hip-hop, we just getting started. Yes, we prove we can sell records. There are so many stories that we need to be telling now that can change our communities, our representation in all of these places of business. Check it out. In 4 years. There are so many stories. If y'all want to know something, forget Run DMC's documentary. I don't care about that. Go get L.A. Sunshine's book. Go get L.A. Sunshine's book from the treasure. Charlamagne, you hit it right on the head. Mm-hmm. Now we need to have more stories in Hollywood to tell. And here's the fun thing that Run DMC documentary is going to show. We still ain't touched the pinnacle musically. Mm-hmm. We still ain't touched the pinnacle music. All of these artists now, excuse me, all of these artists now, young and old, now is the time to start having The Wall and Sgt. Pepper and Dark Side of the Moon. I'm talking about that's where we're at right now. Mm-hmm. Right now, I am the Four Tops of my generation, like the Four Tops and the Temptations was to my mother and father generation. And another thing, just to let your young people out there know, do not get it twisted. About me, Chuck D, Big Daddy Kane, and a couple of others. I speak at high schools and elementary schools all the day. And I tell kids this, don't you get it twisted. The more you do something, the better you get. Mm-hmm. The more you do, I tell kids, when you get that video game that first day, you hate it. My son threw his controller and broke the $100,000 TV set. And I walked in the room, what's your problem? Give it some time. I tell the kids by the end of the week, you're getting high scores. You might not hear me on the radio no more. You might not see me on MTV no more. You might not see me in social media too much, but I tour 365 days all over the world. I was at high school. Let me close. I was at high school. This young dude tried to diss. Yo, Run DMC. Yo, Mr. DMC. That old school stuff is over. You guys are over. And I said, thank you. Huh? And the whole auditorium was like, what do you mean? I said, thank you. You're just speaking some more truth into me. I'm going to be so great. And he was like, he's trying to diss. I said, yes, I just came over from England last week, and I'm getting ready to go over to Singapore. You should have seen the high school thing. So what I'm trying to say is, I'm going to end with this. Old school, it's not a time period. You just said it. Mm-hmm. It's not a time period. Mm-hmm. It's a consciousness. You want to know what old school is? Old school is an attitude. Old school is an attitude, meaning, yo, we gonna get new. We go, you as a DJ, the only thing the hard drive does is you don't have to carry that 1,000 records you want to play.
That's right.
But you still get to play the 1,000 records.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? So we, the old school guys, have to embrace the change of everything, but you don't have to change who you are to fit in. You need to just show up and do what you got to do. Some of the top selling tours is...
That's right, OGs, yeah.
Rolling Stones, yeah. AC/DC, this, and they just out there doing that thing. And what happens with this new generation, I was in Cleveland performing at this event with all the older rappers and the DJs playing all the new music. So I'm performing, I got 30 minutes, right? 30 minutes to prove I'm worthy, right? So the whole time, the young crowd, you know, they're 18 to 22. They doing this my whole show. Not moving once. I don't care. I'm going to. They doing this the whole show. About 17 of the whole show. No movement at all. Finish, cool. Get off stage. Come out my dressing room. Who's waiting for me? Yo, my dad told me, man, but I never seen it. I never experienced it. And they tell me this. Yo, D. And I say, thank you. They say, yo, oh, hey, you put it down harder than the youngins. Because they saying DMC at 55 years old, but I'm acting like the 12-year-old kid that was in his room writing a rhyme trying to be like Flash in the Furious 5. That thing never changed. So to answer your question, capitalism didn't destroy nothing. We got a lot of people that we need to move from those places of position because I'm not getting money, but we don't need you on the front. You know what I'm saying? It's about an attitude. I remember KRS-One said one day, yeah, I want to check. Yes, you crazy. But then he said this. I said, wow, the teacher said this. He said, my first responsibility is that audience. So when you see this Run DMC documentary, you're going to see Jermaine. You're going to see MC Light. You're going to see Eminem. You're going to see Ice Cube say this. Ice Cube said, and I ain't going to give it away.
Now, February 1st, I know you got to go. You got another
Run
interview.
Run DMC story.
The docu-series, check it out Thursday, February 1st on Peacock. And we appreciate you.
We appreciate you, legend.
Thank you for having me here. I saw you had Grandmaster Flash in the building. See, y'all are hip-hop. Y'all are hip-hop. The other people are just radio stations. Y'all are hip-hop because you're being what we are while you're doing everything else.
Word.
Appreciate that.
Keep that up, man.
It's the Breakfast Club. It's DMC.
Wake that ass up.
In the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations.
Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.